The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the DFS CSS Fantasy Focus.
Okay, hold on. I'm gone for 2 weeks and you think you can just keep hosting this? Like I don't even exist anymore, Mike Clay?
Oh, you're here?
Oh my gosh.
Whoa, breaking news.
I'm gone for 2 weeks.
Where's the
and
sounder?
It's just like I don't even exist
Daniel,
anymore.
Daniel, hit the sounder.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness. Daniel Topp is here, apparently. I just expected you to not to be there because it's been like, what, two months?
I was sick roughly? For a very long time. I want to do a quick thing real fast. I was sick for like 3 weeks. I got the flu. I flew out to L.A., had to do a thing out there for Disney with a bunch of veteran stuff, or I was working with veterans that are trying to get into media after leaving the military, which was a ton of fun to be able to do. But I was super sick, and while I was out there, Al Seidenfeld and his incredible wife like hooked me up with all sorts of medicine. They gave me all sorts of like soup. They brought me Gatorade and water. And so, I wasn't sure if Al and I were friends or if we were co-hosts, but now I know. We're actually real life friends.
Well, nobody miss you though. So here, so we were good. I mean, we had Al,
oh, wow.
We had Kyle Soppy. Just a heads up on that. Of course, we missed you, Daniel. So we're glad you're healthy. We're glad you're here. I see you grew a beard while you were out.
That's new, right?
I really can't remember what you looked like.
Is Al Seidenfeld here with us too?
I don't know. Is he? Al, you here?
I'm here.
He is.
How's it going?
What's up, buddy?
Not much. I mean, you said you were sick for 3 weeks. Obviously, we saw each other. Not saying you got me sick. I obviously have two petri dishes that live in my house, and we send them out every day to pick up whatever diseases they can and then come back into the house. So now everybody in my house is sick.
Accurate.
So I'm trying to battle through it and do what I can. Mike, you know all about that. You got your two petri dishes.
Yours
are female. Mine are male. And we send them out, and they go collect diseases and bring them home. It's
yes.
A lovely thing.
This is 100% accurate. I fully blame them. Because I feel bad like during the season when I'm sick, right? Because I don't want to spread it, and I'm missing shows, and I'm just like, it's all the kids' fault. Like,
that's exactly what it is. It's not you. It's not anybody. It's not what you're doing at work. Nope, it's always the children. There's nothing wrong with that.
No question.
Dude, I'm stoked to be back here. It has been a couple of weeks. DFS has still been bountiful in my absence. I've heard that Kyle Soppy filled in while I was gone 1 week when Al and I were both sick. And then last week was just you and Al, right?
It was. Yes. In fact, the first time Kyle was on, the first thing I said to him was like, I called him Daniel. And then after that, it was just like, you were gone.
No big deal.
You were
Thanks.
A ghost.
Thanks.
Yeah.
All right. I want to say this. Just like every single week, join our weekly contest. Unlimited participants. Everybody can join. $200 in prizes. We have a ton of fun with that every single week. Mike and I both set a lineup. One of us is usually right. One of us is not as right as the other one. Spoiler alert, we'll get to that at the end of the podcast. But listen, guys, we are at a spot now where there's only four teams left where you're picking players from. And before we jump into who we like at any of these specific positions, I just sort of want to throw out to the room, and Al, I want to start with you first. When we're looking at this, we've always been talking about the way that we're doing these lineups is like a head-to-head or a 50-50 kind of a lineup. But when you get down to this many teams, how does that strategy change with a limited player pool? Because it feels like it becomes a little bit more of almost like a, not a cash game, but a tournament lineup, and the way it's kind of like a hybrid split there.
Yeah, and we talked about this when there were four game slates as opposed to the full 11 to 15 game slates. You really have to be able to project a little bit more with your tournament lineups. Your rules that you normally have, not loading up with a lot of players from one team, kind of goes out the window because there's only four teams to pick from. You have some of those teams that aren't projected to score a whole lot of points, or they're limited or in really bad matchups. So breaking the rules of correlation with running backs and quarterbacks and wide receivers on the same team, totally fine. Having three, four players on the same team if they're from a expected high scoring offense, also totally fine. Things that we wouldn't normally do on a full slate because there's more opportunities to make up for those points when there's 22 to 30 teams playing. When there's only four teams playing, you just got to play the right plays that you can get to get you the most points possible.
Okay, so then Mike, agree, disagree, add anything you want to add
to
that?
My analysis is yes.
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 Okay.
Well said by Al. I agree on all those points. It is tough for sure. You're navigating only four teams. A lot of guys are really close in value, and we're going to kind of work through those names. Maybe probably the best advice is guys to avoid, right? Almost like we're going to focus on the values and maybe mention along the way a couple guys who are perhaps overpriced and you want to stay away from.
Okay. So let me just jump right in, and I want to say this. Is it worth trying to get cute here? or is Patrick Mahomes just an auto lock with what it is that he's doing? Because he's easily the highest priced quarterback on the slate this week.
Yeah, you're going to have to punt somewhere, right? It's almost, again, because there's so few players here, it's so hard to just put a guy you feel good about at every single position
right
here. So if you go with Mahomes, you're going to, at least as we'll get to later, a little foreshadowing, I punt a little bit at the wide receiver position. If you go with a cheaper quarterback, it's easier to feel pretty good about the other positions. And I think you have some options there. In fact, I'm going to talk about one of the value plays, but I do think you could put together a decent lineup with Mahomes, and I think you should be trying to do that because he is so good and so far ahead of the field.
Okay. All right. Love that. All right. Let's look at a couple of the quarterbacks, though. If you don't want to spend up on Patrick Mahomes and you're trying to go cheap, maybe you spend up at a couple of the other positions. Who is it that you like here? It looks like Jimmy Garoppolo, $5,200.
Yeah, how about the cheapest quarterback, right? We did this last week. We talked about the highest-priced quarterback with Lamar Jackson and the cheapest guy last week as well. And Garoppolo, again, just because of this price point, is interesting. And there's a few things that I like about him where he can kind of overachieve based on where he's been as of late. Again, very low floor. We've seen that. But he does have 28-plus fantasy points in three of his past eight games. Not a high hit rate, but you know what's in there. You know he has it in him. He had 253 yards and a pair of touchdowns in the earlier meeting with the Packers. So he did throw on them a little bit, did a nice job against a team that's pretty good against the pass. He's riskier if you expect a 49ers blowout. Again, we've seen that, right? The past month or so, they've blown teams out. They've run the ball a lot. He hasn't been very good. But if you think this is going to be a close game at the Packers, you like him more and more. Also, kind of quietly, he did put up some decent numbers in the regular season, right? He had 27 passing touchdowns. It was fifth most in the NFL. Fifth best completion percentage, third best yards per attempt. So the efficiency is there as well. One other thing, you know, I like to talk about regression. Of course, regression to the mean. Eight of the past 11 touchdowns by the Niners offense have been rushes. If you look at their play calling, that suggests it should be closer to 50-50. So he's kind of had some bad luck in the touchdown department, even with them leaning towards the run. That's another reason to feel a little bit better about him. The Packers defense, again, pretty good against the pass, though. 18 passing touchdowns allowed during the regular season, but their yards per attempt closer to mid-pack. So again, don't feel super great about him. I know the floor is low, but he's kind of a contrarian play here, and there is some reason to believe that he can pay this off.
Yeah, I think my biggest fear is just that the passing game is not what it is that, you know, you're looking for a 300-yard game out of this, and like, again, you spend a little bit less money here to be able to get it somewhere else. So like, if he doesn't reach that point, maybe you're getting that money elsewhere. And if he does, then great, you just hit on fantastic value. So Al, we talked about Patrick Mahomes a little bit earlier, $7,700. So with Mike talking about the cheapest quarterback, why don't we talk about the most expensive quarterback on the slate? And let me know what you think about Mahomes against Tennessee.
I mean, as if I've got to tell the listeners, why you should be comfortable playing Patrick Mahomes, but like he's the highest or the quarterback in the game with the highest over-under, the highest team total as well. And if you look at that over-under and how he's performed in the past, we mentioned this on the last show, when they have played the last years and the Chiefs had a total of 51 or greater. The over-under was 51 or higher. There's been 21 times that's happened. He has averaged 320 yards passing in those games and just under three touchdowns per game versus when it's lower than 51 and he's averaged 265 yards per game and 1.75 touchdowns. You also have a nice spot where Tennessee just doesn't pressure the quarterback all that much. Fourth lowest pressure rate in the league. They don't generate a lot of pressure at 27%, 27.5% of the time. That's 19th in the league. And both of those rates have dipped during the playoffs. Mahomes also better when he's throwing from a clean pocket, when he's not pressured, as most quarterbacks are. So if you have the ability to pay up, and I do believe that you have that ability to pay up at quarterback, I think that he's going to be the most popular quarterback in the week, and for good reason, because you can fit him. I don't disagree with getting a cheaper quarterback because of how clustered quarterback scoring usually is. And we've seen somebody like Garoppolo have games where he scored over 30 points, but they're just a little fewer and farther between than somebody like Patrick Mahomes.
Sure, that totally makes sense. Quick mention on the other quarterbacks that you can play in this slate. Aaron Rodgers, $6,100, and Ryan Tannehill, $5,500. Rodgers, multiple touchdown passes in consecutive games for the first time since October. So it feels like he's starting to come on about the right time, especially with him and Devontae Adams. Like, this is the time where you want that connection to be able to, you know, really pay off for you if you're spending up here at $6,100 rather than going with that cheaper option. And then Tannehill's tough for me to consider with how well Derrick Henry has been playing and that they've just been running the ball. Spoiler alert, we're going to talk about Derrick Henry in a minute. But another guy that you can consider if you don't want to go with Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe be a little bit more contrarian from that standpoint.
Yeah, I think if you were buying into the Chiefs scoring a lot and then being ahead in this game, the Titans will throw a lot. I mean, if you look at the difference between their pass attempts, even during the Tannehill era, when they're behind versus when they're ahead, and I think I'm going to get into that a little bit later, it's pretty drastic, right? I mean, Derrick Henry last week was averaging 3.1 yards per carry when they built a double-digit lead in that game for the Titans. He wasn't really tearing it up in fantasy by any means, but once they built the lead, that's when the game script kicked in, and they just kept handing it to him over and over and over, and he just racked up a ton of long runs. His yards per carry went through the roof. His fantasy production went through the roof. If they're behind, it's not going to be as even. If they're behind by 10, 13 points in this, late in the second quarter, in the third quarter, they're going to throw the football with Ryan Tannehill to catch up. It's the nature of the NFL, whether you like it or not. So you can definitely go that direction with a Tannehill, A.J. Brown, Jonnu Smith, Corey Davis, Tajay Sharp, or Adam Humphrey sort of stack if you want to pivot away from that. But I think that's kind of a more viable tournament strategy than it is in cash.
Sure. So let's move that ahead to running backs. And I'm going to start with Al here because, Al, I want to figure out, how do you handle Derrick Henry and what he has done, you know, in these last two playoff games? Because we expect him to sort of be the chalkiest guy on the slate, but his price point is still really high from this standpoint. So is it worth it spending $8,700 against a Kansas City Chiefs team that is going to be throwing the ball and maybe Derrick Henry won't be able to be utilized as much?
I mean, if you're playing head-to-heads this week, maybe you're not playing Derrick Henry because you're probably going to be having a lot of Chiefs players in your lineup, guys like Kelce, probably Tyreek Hill, obviously Patrick Mahomes. But if you're playing one of those cheaper quarterbacks, you're saving in order to pay up for Derrick Henry, because for the last couple of weeks, he has not popped as a value. People have not played him, or people that I think are smart players in the industry have kind of avoided playing Derrick Henry because everything that Mike just said, they project to be playing from behind. He does not have any involvement in the passing game. And then I'm getting voicemails from people who said, you know what, I thought I was smart to not play him. And
I mean, this is a good look, man.
And that's what it sounded like in my voicemails all weekend long, because we thought we were making the right play and then we weren't. And it was 2 weeks in a row. The one from 2 weeks ago was pretty much the same. I mean, it's been absurd what this guy has done in on the road and an underdog, which are the two things that back testing has shown us provide lower fantasy points than expectation over a huge sample, and then he's just completely bucked the trend. Now, I will say the one way that you can beat Kansas City, and this game plan, this blueprint has been put out by the Colts. It happened with the Titans earlier this year. You have to pound the ball and run it. And things can happen where they can get out to a lead. Now, I totally agree with Mike that if Kansas City jumps out to a 10-point, 14-point, 17-point lead early in this game, if they get off real quick, then Derrick Henry can definitely get scripted out of this game.
Yeah, and the one thing I'd say is, I understand, and we deal with this all the time, right? People overreact to small samples, to recency bias. You see that all the time. You know, two playoff games is a very small sample, right? This game, the Titans lost, what is it, three games during the Tannehill era. They're playing a red hot. Everything's going well. They're healthy for the most part on the Chiefs sideline. They could have Chris Jones back. This is a very good team that we know can score. I mean, what, they score 50-some points in three quarters?
Yeah.
Only? I mean, it's going to be tough to keep up with this team, and just running the ball is, I don't think it's going to be the answer. So I get everything Al's saying, and it's a fine strategy to work him in, but I'm definitely nervous about game script.
My thought about this, and then we'll move on. My thought about this is each of the last three games, including week 17, Derrick Henry has had over 30 carries every single game. And if that's the way that Tennessee, like that's the only way Tennessee is going to be able to beat KC, is to be able to keep the other offense off the field. Mm-hmm. Have Derrick Henry run out the clock, do all the things that they've been doing to be able to. And so it's whether or not that defense can do it. And there's a possibility that, you know, 30 carries, 211 yards, three touchdowns, 34 carries, 182 yards and a touchdown, 30 carries, 195 yards. Like, if they can milk that clock and just keep working Derrick Henry, man, I realize $8,700 is a lot.
Yeah.
But, dude, I mean, I don't know how you don't put him in your lineup, but at the same time, I do understand how you don't put him in your lineup. So it's a really awkward position.
Yeah, it's tough. And they did beat them last time, right? Yeah. The Titans beat them the last time they played. So it's definitely a possibility. I think the Chiefs are playing better now. The team's kind of come together a little bit. They're starting to peak, and that's a good time to do that.
So speaking of the Chiefs, Mike, Damian Williams, $7,000, taking on the Tennessee Titans. He was really great last week for any of these DFS players. What is it you like about Damian Williams this week?
Yeah, and Williams could not do as much damage as Henry as a rusher, which is the expectation, but kind of end up with a similar point total because because of what he does as a pass catcher. And both of these guys are probably going to combine to handle 85 to 90% of the backfield snaps. I mean, Williams last week played 96% of the snaps. He is the workhorse. There is no more Darwin Thompson or LeSean McCoy or Spencer Ware or you name it. It is the Damian Williams show right now during the playoffs. He had 12 carries and 6 targets against Houston. In fact, since returning in week 16 in 3 games, averaging 13.3 carries and 5.3 targets per game, he has 6 total touchdowns in those 3 games and 25 fantasy points per game. He's 7,000. Derrick Henry's 8,700, and he's putting up 25 points per game. That's a huge, you know, that's a huge total, and obviously the price is much lower. Also, the Chiefs offense, 3+ touchdowns in 11 of Patrick Mahomes' 14 full games this season. So that's a lot of touchdowns to go around, and if he's playing every snap in the backfield, there's a pretty darn good chance he's going to find the end zone in this game. By the way, Titans defense, kind of a mid-range matchup, allowing a solid 4.0 yards per carry to running backs during the regular season, but we're top 8 in rushing yards and carries inside the 5 and receptions allowed to the running back position. So it is a decent spot here.
Okay. Another couple guys worth a mention is the 49ers backfield. Trying to figure this thing out. Raheem Mostert, $4,300, is a better value than Tevin Coleman at $5,700. But both are risky because we have no freaking idea which 49ers running back is going to be the guy here.
Yeah, no question about it. But the matchup is good, right? It's hard. These are good teams, right?
Yeah.
We're in the final four here. But the Packers actually pretty bad against running backs. 9th most fantasy points to that position during the regular season. 7th or worse in rushing yards, rushing touchdowns, yards per carry, and carries inside the 5 to running backs. That's a lot of categories where they have struggled. Pretty good against perimeter receivers and that position overall, but not so hot against running backs. So I'm interested in this backfield. I'm just nervous about that massive price gap. I'm shocked by it. $4,300 for Mostert to $5,700 for Tevin Coleman. Coleman is maybe the worst value on the slate for me. Mostert, a lot more intriguing because he did play a lot. I mean, he was ill, right? Or he was dealing with something that limited him in that game. And he was still kind of ahead of Coleman for a large chunk of that game. And then Coleman just kind of took off in the second half. So it's tough for sure, but I would rather throw the dart at Mostert here.
I think I'm with you there. Mike, did you know the burglars love the holidays?
They do?
They love the holidays and the not
holidays.
Good to
know. I have a house. I live somewhere, so
that's
good to know. This is good information.
Great. I'm very proud of you. I'll bet your children and your wife are very glad that you have a house as
well. Okay, so why are we talking about the holidays?
Because they know you're going out to shop for last-minute gifts, or you're off to visit your family. You're going on a long vacation, maybe, after the football season.
That's true. Yeah, Valentine's is coming up. I have to go shop.
Absolutely. So you have to ask yourself, what does real protection mean to you?
Can you tell me?
Well, with ADT, you can get the latest innovation in smart home security combined with 24/7 monitoring from the most trusted name in home security. You can customize your system to fit your home, and you get everything from video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart locks and lights, and it's all controlled from the ADT app or the sound of your voice. So help protect your home this holiday season and get the nation's number one smart home security provider. Get ADT. Visit ADT.com. today.
And I have ADT, so I'm ahead of the curve. See?
Ahead of the curve. Now you just need to go out and get that Valentine's Day gift.
Yep. It's good. Yep. We got to do that. That's coming up.
All right. Here's a question for you, Mike.
What up?
Let's move ahead to wide receivers. And in this short slate, do you believe that stacking is a must option with only 4 teams on the slate this week?
I don't overthink stacking in cash, right? I just want the best value at any position. But at the same time, if you have a bunch of guys from one offense and you don't have the quarterback and you have really nothing with him, it's a little disturbing.
Okay,
right?
Matthew, how about you make a decision and pick one side of the argument?
No, I'm just playing the best. I'm not too worried about it.
Okay.
I'm not. I'm just going to play the best value at each position. So maybe I'm curious. Does Al disagree with me on that?
Al, do you disagree with Mike on that?
I mean, we could very simplify daily fantasy and just say the key to winning in daily fantasy is scoring more points than your opponent.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So just play the good players, Daniel.
Okay. Why did I come back for this?
Well, we've talked about this all season, right?
And
you've probably seen it, right? We post our lineups on Twitter and most of the responses are something like, you have a naked quarterback, which is not an unclothed quarterback. It's a quarterback that you don't have receivers
to
go with.
Thank you for clarifying that for me. Yes.
But it was from the guy who's naked on the fantasy show
right.
All the time.
It's
right?
too bad, man, because Jimmy Garoppolo, man, I'd have him starting a quarterback every week.
All right, Stefania. Anyway, Yeah, look, in cash, it doesn't, it's not as important, right? It's just not as important. You just,
you're looking for
find the best values across the board. And it's going to pay off. If you're in a tournament setting, it's more important. It's not as much in cash.
Okay. So then let's look at a couple of wide receivers here, because Davante Adams, $7,900, taking on the San Francisco 49ers. Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers have absolutely come on these last couple of weeks. We've been waiting for it. And it looks like, I mean, that's a lot of money to spend, but it looks like he's a really good value this week.
Yeah, no question about it. If you look at the first meeting between these teams, and again, you're facing an elite pass defense.
Yep.
You're facing a defense that pretty much shut down Aaron Rodgers in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Adams still had 12 targets in that game, put up 7 for 43 and a touchdown. So a pretty darn good fantasy day. What makes me a little nervous here is the 49ers are already kind of talking about Adams specifically and how they're going to focus on stopping him in this game. That makes me a little bit nervous, but at the same time, that's not going to stop Aaron Rodgers from throwing it to him a ton. Adams has 9 or more targets in 11 of 13 games this season. He has 10 or more targets in 7, 10 plus targets in and 7 plus catches in 4 straight games. He's averaging 118 yards per game during that stretch. He has 4 touchdowns during that span, 22 or more fantasy points in all 4 games. His target share this season, 32%, is easily a career high. I mean, what's really not to like other than the matchup here? By the way, I should actually mention this. The Niners are close to mid-pack against receivers in terms of fantasy points allowed. I think that's probably a bit surprising because they've allowed 18 touchdowns to that position. That is 10th most. So the efficiency against him is bad, but the receivers have tended to score a lot of touchdowns against him. Game script probably a factor with teams playing catch-up, but that could be the case for the Packers here. And when they're throwing the ball, you know where it's going. A third of the time is going at Davante Adams.
Yeah. All right, let's look at another wide receiver here that's quite a bit cheaper. A.J. Brown, $5,200 against the Chiefs. And here's my big concern with A.J. Brown, because you love the talent, love what he did, especially in the second half of the season coming on. But in 3 of his last 4 games, he finished that game with a single reception. We've seen the big playability. Yes. We've seen what he's been able to do. But in a lot of those games, Derrick Henry has absolutely taken over. They haven't needed to throw the football. And I think maybe that's where we're looking at the difference here in this game.
Yeah, his target shares with this, the exception being the Stephon Gilmore game, and I think he had a rushing touchdown in that game, actually. The target shares have been fine for him, right? It's just been they are running it so much.
Marshawn Lattimore game. He had a rushing touchdown.
That's what it was. So, but again, when they're throwing the ball, he's still a centerpiece of that offense.
Absolutely.
And as I'll get into here in a second, but you know, he's a clear number one receiver. Target share is good. We expect Tennessee to throw the football more, and he's cheap considering that scenario, right? He's only $5,200. That's pretty darn good for one of the emerging superstar receivers in the NFL. As mentioned, the Titans only 57 passes, 113 rushes in their past 3 games. But here's what I kind of talked about before, Daniel. The Titans are averaging 25.6 dropbacks per game in their 9 wins, but 39.7 in their 3 losses during Tannehill's starts. That's a huge difference. And again, if we expect the Chiefs to be scoring in this game, Tannehill's going to have to throw it more, and that benefits, of course, A.J. Brown. They're also averaging 2.2 passing touchdowns per game during Tannehill's starts, his 12 starts this season. And think about that. Even though they've been running the ball so much, they're still averaging over 2 passing touchdowns per game. That is a huge number. He's run 166 of a possible 180 routes since week 13 as a 24% target share. He's on the field full time. He's seeing a huge share of the targets. And his efficiency across the board has been exceptional this season. Again, the only concern for me, really, you know, you can get wrapped up, I think, in the volume a little bit. It doesn't bother me too much. Like I said, I think they'll have to throw it more. The Chiefs were very good against wide receivers during the regular season. Second fewest fantasy points, 2 receivers, fewest receptions and yards. They did allow 28 end zone targets, so that was 5th most. And that could be where he delivers, right? If they're scoring touchdowns through the air, thrown 2 in the end zone, racks up an end zone target or 2, scores a touchdown, that could be huge. And we know he is a huge part, their number one weapon in the passing game. So absolutely. I think at the price, you know, there's a lot of information needed here. I think you have to add a lot of context to this one. But I think at his price point and his talent level and the way this game's going to go, I think he's a good value.
All right. Al, let's turn it over to you and look at another wide receiver, Emmanuel Sanders from the 49ers. Only $4,900 taking on the Green Bay Packers. Sanders has struggled a little bit of late, but he's still seen a decent little bit of target share. So what is it you like about him this week against the Packers?
Well, here's the caveat. I just don't think that there's an awful lot of really good wide receiver plays this week. And Mike, you're the projection guru. How many wide receivers on this slate do you have projected for over 15 or more fantasy points this weekend?
That is a good question that you just put me on the spot on. Let's see.
I have two.
Adams at 21, Hill at 17, and the next closest is Debo and Brown at 13.
Right. And that's pretty much where I've got things as well, which means that we're not going to have those high floor options that are going to give us a lot of targets for their price. We're not going to have that floor that we normally look for. We have to kind of project a little bit, as I talked about at the top of the show. So with Sanders running more routes the last 6 weeks from the slot, 43% of his routes in week 14 to 19 have come from the slot versus his first 6 weeks with the 49ers running 28% of his routes from the slot from weeks 8 to 13. And that's where Green Bay is a lot more vulnerable. Ninth highest slot completion percentage allowed versus third best in the league to everywhere else in the field. Seventh highest slot passer rating allowed. And that's the other end of the spectrum. They're fifth best against everywhere else on the field. So you're looking at a spot where if he's going to run routes from the slot, we might get some extra targets here, some higher efficiency targets here. And there's always scoring ability, right? So like, there's just not that much touchdown equity that we can bank on with any wide receiver. So I'm looking to save at wide receiver this week. We've already talked up Mahomes. We've already talked up Derrick Henry, and Aaron Jones and Williams. You're going to have to find value somewhere. And I kind of think we're going to talk about Travis Kelce too at some point on this show, which means we're going to have to find value somewhere, and it might be uncomfortable value, but the value we're looking for is going to be at wide receiver.
Yeah, this one's tough for me with essentially the Sanders versus Samuel discussion, right? Because Samuel is $600 more. I have him projected for three more points. Samuel, three more, which may seem surprising, but if you look at the past two games for this Niners offense, the target distribution is Samuel with 11, and Sanders only has six, right? He just hasn't played a big role. Samuel also has at least one carry in six straight games, his two rushing touchdowns during that span. So that was tough for me to kind of buy into Sanders. I just don't think it's enough value. I prefer Samuel. I'm paying up a little more.
I think that what I do with the 49ers is I look at whatever seems to make the most sense, and then I do the opposite of that because that's what their coaching staff does.
And smartly, right? Yeah. You've seen that from like Bill Belichick too over the years. But
exactly.
Right, just keep throwing curveballs. It works.
That's what it is all the time. Two other wide receivers that are worth mentioning. Tyreek Hill, $7,200. Obviously, if you're going to be playing Patrick Mahomes, we think they're going to throw a lot. Tyreek Hill saw again week 10 against the Tennessee Titans, career high 19 targets, career high 11 receptions. They made him a priority early. He had six targets in the first quarter, and in important spots, he had seven third down targets. I mean, he was absolutely all over the place in that game. And then we just mentioned Debo Samuel, $5,500. So someone else there to be able to consider. But man, Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill really are the cream of the crop. And then it's just sort of what's going to happen after that. That's where, you know.
Yeah, we're looking for punt options. I think we'll get into, when we're setting our lineups, we'll talk about a few of them. But otherwise, there are a lot of interesting punt options, as we'll get to, like your DeMarcus Robinsons and either Tajae Sharp or Adam Humphries, depending on who plays. Kendrick Bourne's a little pricey. You know, obviously he had a big game last week, but you do have a lot of cheaper options, even like a Corey Davis down at the bottom end. So there's options there. It's just a matter of who you go with.
That's right.
And who you need, how much money you have left.
Good to have options, Mike Clay.
Indeed.
Here's a question for you. Let's move on to tight ends because we so often went either really cheap or matchup-based at tight end this regular season, i.e. Arizona Cardinals. Is punting this position still an option given what it is that we have available to us? Because the four tight ends that are the starting tight ends, it's really Travis Kelce and then sort of everybody else.
I don't want to. The way I work navigating through this slate and picking my poison, if you will, for my lineup, I was not interested in Jimmy Graham or Jonnu Smith, right? Yeah. So you have four starting options, right? We're not really interested in, unless you're in a tournament like Anthony Firkser, like you're probably not going to, or, you know, Jay Sternberger, you're really digging deep in a tournament if you're looking there. So you really have the four guys. You have Kelce.
Jay Sternberger is so excited he got a mention on the podcast.
He
did.
Well, he played a career high snaps last week.
Good
so
for him.
Keep that in mind. But anyway, Kelce and Kittle are the standouts. Jonnu Smith and Jimmy Graham, not nearly as interesting to me, but Kelsey's the guy that stands out for me.
Yep.
Right.
Let's talk about him then. $7,100 against the Titans.
Yeah, exactly. He's coming off a huge game, one of the best games of his career, right? 12 targets against Houston, 10 catches, 134 yards, and three touchdowns. If you did not use him in DFS, probably didn't have a lot of success. Luckily, we did talk about him last week. Not a bold call, right?
Nope.
It's Travis Kelce, right? 60-plus yards in 9 of his past 10 games. So it has an incredibly high floor. 7 touchdowns, just under 20 fantasy points per game during that span. You know, he's been doing it all season, right? He's been the number one fantasy tight end 4 consecutive seasons. Blew away the field by 31 points this season. He is obviously tremendous. Number one in snaps, routes, targets, receptions, touches, OTD at the tight end position. I mean, he is just far and away the best fantasy asset, at least at that position. When they played in week 10, 7 catches, 75 yards, and a touchdown on only 7 targets. So caught every ball thrown his way. Obviously had success against this defense recently. And also, it's a good matchup, right?
Yeah.
The Titans faced the most tight end routes and allowed the 6th most fantasy points to tight ends during the regular season. They allowed 9 touchdowns. That was 3rd most. 916 receiving yards, 7th most. So we also like the matchup. So it's Kelce in a good matchup. You know, all systems go here.
All systems go with Travis Kelce, but let's talk about Smiz, another tight end. If you decide you don't want to go the Travis Kelce route, which I have a feeling you're going to say, but really just play Travis Kelce, who else do you like at this tight end position?
I mean, on the short slate, I think that you can go to tight ends, and here's why. And Jonnu Smith is the guy that I'm going to talk about here, okay. Because if you want to find that value, and I said looking for value at wide receiver is a lot of the places where people are going to go, I think that two tight end is viable this week. If you want to try to get up to maybe that double stack with Mahomes and Hill and Kelce and play Jonnu Smith in there, because if you're looking at guys that are similar price point at the wide receiver position, Mecole Hardman at 3,800, sub 4K wide receivers, Geronimo Allison, MVS, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Robinson on KC. These guys are pretty much have the same floor and less touchdown equity than somebody like Jonnu Smith, who saw a couple of end zone targets last week. Obviously, Berkser is somebody else that when they come out there and run two tight end around the inside the 10-yard line, once they get into the red zone, yes, he could get vultured for a touchdown from Berkser as well. But he also has big playability. This is a guy who can create a lot with the elite athleticism that he has and score from anywhere. And as Mike and I both agree, I don't think this is a game where Tannehill's going to be able to get away with throwing it 15 or 18 times. I think we're looking at more of a 32 to 40 attempt game, which means that those targets should and will come up for every receiver on this team. But Jonnu Smith could go from a 2-target guy, maybe a 6 or 7 target guy in that sort of environment. And Kansas City has been a little bit giving to opposing tight ends. So again, I'm projecting here. He's not the best value. I'm not concerned about his floor. I'm playing tournaments this week. I'm trying to get ceiling guys, which means I need to stack my lineups with as much touchdown equity as I can possibly get my hands on. And Jonnu Smith not only gets me some of that himself in a solo tight end spot, but allows me to get to Kelce or Kittle in the flex by giving me more touchdown equity than the similarly priced wide receivers or running backs to go to tight end.
I love that strategy. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm all about that idea. Jonnu Smith, especially if they're going to have to throw a whole bunch. Just like Al said, like there's a possibility that he's going to be able to be utilized as a very cheap option, only $3,400.
Yeah, Chiefs 5th most fantasy points to tight ends during the regular season, as Al kind of alluded to. So it is a good matchup, but you know what you're asking for, right? An Anthony Firkser 2-touchdown game.
That's actually the opposite of what I'm asking
for.
Okay. I'm asking for
that's Smith, how it works. Okay.
Two other tight ends that are worth mentioning, just George Kittle, $5,800. Since the beginning of last season, following a game in which he did not score 8 fantasy points, George Kittle is averaging 17.3 DraftKings points per game. Last week, he only had 4.6 points against the Vikings.
Yeah, and that's not shocking. We didn't talk about him last week because it was a really tough matchup against a Vikings team that was really darn good against the tight end position during the regular season. But he did have 16-plus fantasy points at 4 straight. He's $300 cheaper than he's a lot less. He's $1,300 cheaper than Travis Kelce. So he's a fine play as well, certainly. Jimmy Graham, though, much cheaper, not. You know, he had a good matchup last week, and he delivered. You know, he had a decent day, but 49ers fewest yards and yards per target to tight ends during the regular season.
Jimmy Graham's a guy this week.
Yeah, stay away.
You know, everybody's got a to-do list, Mike.
I definitely have one of those.
Yeah, drop off the dry cleaning, go out and pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars of car insurance, and the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything to do that.
How do I do it?
All you have to do is go to Geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just may be the most rewarding thing that you do off your to-do list today. Okay, this is a 30-cent commercial, and I'm going to throw out a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me. In just
numbers.
15 that's what I said.
Numbers. You know how I feel about numbers, Daniel. Let's hear him. I got him. Let's go.
Just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years. They have been doing this since Matthew was like 15 years old.
Who's Matthew?
Matthew Berry.
Oh, okay.
And anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers. And in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I am out of time. Let's talk about our lineups this week. Mike Clay, last week, actually, let's pause. Let's talk about our lineups last week.
You sure? You want to do that to yourself?
You know, I didn't do poorly last week.
You didn't?
So both of us finished in what would have been the top 50% for sure. Mike Clay had 159.5. I had 145.7.
Mm-hmm.
You beat me by 15 points. No big deal. Damian Williams was really the difference maker.
Yes, he was. Yeah. But he's very similar lineups last week.
Yep. It was very close. Our winner was Jonah MW with 215 points.
Wow. We thought we did well. Jeez.
Absolutely.
He blew us out of the water.
Crushed it. Season standings. Mike Clay is 14-5 on a 9-game win streak. He has scored 193 points. More in the aggregate over me. I can't even speak. I'm so frustrated.
You better get to the gym this offseason. Get to the DFS, the numbers gym.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
What happened, man?
Listen, just because I didn't beat you doesn't mean that I didn't cash. Let's remember that.
I'm told by some people on Twitter that just wins are all accounts. There's no context needed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Interesting. Al Zeidenfeld is 10-5 when choosing between us. And the only reason why he's 10-5 is because on the weeks when I picked Christian McCaffrey and you didn't, he took my lineup.
That's true.
And then you still
and I won despite that somehow. Yes.
All right. So a reminder: join our weekly contest. Unlimited participants, free to enter. $200 in prizes. It is super fun to be able to play against Mike and I, and mostly talk about whether or not you could beat us or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
good luck with that. All right, Mike, your lineup this week, give it to us.
Yeah, and we have very differing lineups this week, which is kind of surprising. I expected a lot of overlap. Only three players are similar, so this is going to be a lot of fun.
I just picked all the good players, so maybe, I don't know what
you were
doing.
Yeah, well, that would be new. So it's the first time since October you did that.
We'll see.
Quarterback Patrick Mahomes, bold decision there for sure. Decided not to go with Tim Boyle, the Aaron Rodgers backup. Yep. Didn't want to go that route, so went Patrick Mahomes. Running backs, Damian Williams, we talked about him, and Raheem Mostert.
Sure.
I'm gonna take the chance there, 4,300 like that. Wide receivers, Davante Adams, DeMarcus Robinson at only 3,300, and Corey Davis. So again, I mentioned this before, you got to punt somewhere. I'm gonna do that at wide receiver and take some chances. Tight end, George Kittle, and I'm gonna also go with Travis Kelce. So I'm gonna go with both of those guys.
Two tight ends.
Yeah, two tight ends. I like that in cash this week, and 49ers defense at home. I'm gonna go with as my defense. A quick note here. If you do want to fade Patrick Mahomes, and these lineups were very close, that's why I'm mentioning this, but if you want to fade Patrick Mahomes, the alternate is very simple. Put in Tannehill at $2,200 cheaper than Mahomes, and then you could put in Debo Samuel for DeMarcus Robinson. So you can just, if you want to go with the stronger wide receiver and go with Tannehill instead of Mahomes, it's perfectly viable. I think they're very similar. And if, by the way, if you don't like, I mentioned this before, but if you don't like DeMarcus Robinson as your punt, there at wide receiver, you can go with Tajay Sharpe or Adam Humphries, depending on if Humphries plays or not. So you do have options there at that punt spot.
Okay. My lineup this week, Al Zeidenfeld, are you ready for this?
I'm all set.
This is going to be the best lineup you hear all week. Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. Derrick Henry at running back. Do I need to go any farther? Patrick Mahomes and Derrick Henry, guys.
You do.
Raheem Mostert at running back. So we've got two of the three same here so far, Mahomes and Mostert. My wide receivers are Tyreek Hill, A.J. Brown, who's going to be on the field a bunch because they're going to have to throw a whole lot, and Alan Lazard, the number two guy there in Green Bay, because why not? Why doesn't Alan Lazard score a touchdown and get 80 catches, 80 yards?
80 catches. You will win.
80 catches, 80. Green Bay's going to the Super Bowl. We got this all figured out.
80 catches, and I bring home the money.
That'll be some kind of record, yeah.
At tight end, I'm taking Travis Kelce, and like Al had mentioned earlier in the show, spoiler alert, I'm going Jonnu Smith here.
I'm
going there with the flex, and then the Titans. I literally had no money left over. Titans was where I had to go with defense. I don't love the idea of playing Titans there, but in order to fit in Kelce, AJ Brown, Tyreek Hill, Derrick Henry, and Patrick Mahomes, I had to punt basically my flex spot, my second wide receiver or third wide receiver spot, and that Titans D.
Yeah, this is an interesting lineup because you need essentially a shootout early on with the Chiefs and Titans, and then you need the Titans to hold a lead because you have A.J. Brown and Jonnu Smith, but you also have Henry, so you need them to run. But you also have Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Kelce, so you need them throwing. But you also have Titans defense, so you need like a pick six as well.
Yes.
So So you need a lot. If this game goes exactly like that, you're going to crush me for sure.
Yes.
But it's a very seems like almost like a very specific tournament lineup more than cash. But there's a lot of talent there.
There's a lot of talent there, and you know what, Mike? We'll see what happens at the end of the week.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, well, let's see what happens. Al Zeidenfeld, you're the quote-unquote expert here. I don't know why I put that in quotes. You're definitely the expert here.
Why did you have to just sonify Twitter and put expert in quotes?
Which
you
lineup?
Just became the living Twitter.
I know. I'm sorry. Which lineup are you taking this week?
First of all, I need to know who the mole is in my house that just gave Mike all of my notes about Daniel's lineup, because he hit it on the head. He's exactly right. A lot of things have to happen because of the negative correlations that you have going on in this lineup. Like, Derrick Henry correlates well with the Titans defense. If they're going to get a lead, then Derrick Henry's going to get a ton of carries. But you also have A.J. Brown and Jonnu Smith, so you need them to score touchdowns early with those two guys and then have Derrick Henry clean it up at the end while Patrick Mahomes is playing catch-up, throwing for 350 yards, three touchdowns, maybe two picks, one of them comes back. So too many things have to happen together, in my opinion, for that lineup to really reach its peak. So give me Mike's lineup again this week. I think that it fits together a little bit better, but I do like both lineups.
Yeah, set that. Yeah, I would use that for a tournament, right? I mean, that's a really interesting tournament lineup.
I'll tell you what, this is exactly where I want to be, the underdog.
Yeah.
Everyone's counting me out. Everyone's talking poorly about me. You know what? You're already thinking about
that
next week.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. This was great. It was really fun to be back again after being gone for what feels like forever in part of the holidays and then after being sick. So I appreciate you guys sticking with us. Mike, thank you for holding down the fort while I was sick for a couple weeks. I know Al was out. Kyle, thank you for filling in while we were out that week as well. And Jackson's been holding down the board the entire time that we've been doing all this. So thank you so much to Jackson for all that.
Yeah.
And our video team. Kenny Legan and Isaac. I don't know if Caroline's still up there. Maybe she is. Maybe she's not.
You wouldn't know because you're not around.
Our directors, which change every week, but like they do a fantastic job with all this, being able to broadcast it live on Facebook. So thank you to all of them for that.
Yeah, no doubt. One more left.
Bring it.
We have one more left, right?
We'll be back
for one more next week. We'll preview the Super Bowl leading into the Pro Bowl. We're not going to do Pro Bowl, but we'll do the Super Bowl rundown next week. So make sure you tune in for that.
Absolutely. We're going to take a couple weeks off after Super Bowl, come back, and then we're going to do some Dynasty podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you so much, Mike Clay. Appreciate you being here. Al Zeidenfeld, thank you for getting up early over there on the West Coast and for hanging with us this morning. And for Fantasy Focus Football, CSSDFS, we see you guys next week. He's a NASCAR.